Blog Talk Radio.
Well, isn't this weird? Well, just bear with me, everybody, because I just reactivated this account. I guess my old credit card wasn't in the system correctly. I guess I got a new one issued a couple weeks ago, and it didn't bill me. And for some reason, my damn audios aren't uploaded in here this morning. So I'm not going to sing you the intro tune. What? I can act like DMX if you want me to. But the truth is, I wasn't prepared for this, man. It's totally not set up for it. So I don't even have my theme song. Nobody talking about how I'm a good salesman and all that stuff that I paid somebody to, you know, say on track for me. Oh, man, it just doesn't feel the same. But welcome to Rockstar Closes Podcast Radio Show. We're just going to call it the show for today's purposes. I got some funny stuff I'm going to tell you. Some things that will dawn on you as a salesperson and hopefully give you some information, because as we go into this time where it's usually the busy season for a lot of us, our companies and stuff try to give us promotions, and we're going to talk about some of the ups and downs, positives and negatives of doing that, taking them up on those promotion opportunities. So, but before we get into that, this would not be possible, right? I've been doing this since 2011. Can you believe that? It's going on 4 years. My math, M-A-F, serves me correctly. Any minute now. Matter of fact, it may have been April when I started this. It's pretty, I'll have to look it up. I'll write about it in the blog post. You'd think I'd pay closer attention, right? But it's pretty amazing that I went from doing these every single week to now I do about one a month on here. And I create content in a lot of different ways than I did originally. Many of you know that I started this in the front seat of my Lincoln MKS while I sold Ford cars in Dallas, Texas. And I wanted to just spit out what I had inside of me, right? I wanted to just get it on recording. Didn't matter if anybody listened to this stuff or not. You know, worst case scenario, it's going to leave a legacy or some wise words maybe in a few of these episodes for my son and future descendants, right? And here I am 4 years later, and there's been over 100,000 people listening to this show. It's kind of a crazy thing to think about. What a really cool experience. And the thing that I think about is, what if I had never taken the time to get in the car to make this happen? What if I had never made that commitment to just do this every week, whether anybody listened or not? I've got episodes in the very beginning that nobody did listen to. And what if I had given up? Because there would have been no way for me to influence over 100,000 people. And what brings this up, not to be all emotional or sappy or even pat myself on the back or anything like that, is that I've been writing this book about my life. It's been difficult, right? I've had some dark periods in my life, and sometimes some people don't want me to say anything about them or publish the book in general, and that's been a difficult battle as well. And it can be very frustrating. It is very frustrating. And I look at all the struggles and everything that I fight with and how I've just kind of stuck with making this content. And, you know, the things that I've had to do to be able to reach, I've had to give up a lot of people that I've known, family, close friends, and everything else, to be able to reach 100,000 strangers. And I just want to say that 4 years later, I'm really honored to be here, that you guys actually take time out of your day or on your traffic drive home or when you're sitting behind your desk or, you know, whatever you do when you listen to me. I'm just honored that you still, after this time, are listening to me. And what I'm basically saying is, I've grown this show grassroots with you guys sharing it. And I'm going to ask you to share this show like you've never shared before, right? Mention to people. It doesn't even have to be this episode, but share it with a friend. Next time you're at a bar, your buddy asks you how business is, go, man, it's really cool. I've been listening to this podcast you should check out. Just help me out. Let's spread the word. We can do this. I said I've given a lot up in order to help the listeners of this show, and all I'm asking for you is to share this on your social media, your email, or even just tell somebody in person, hey, go to the iTunes store and look up Rockstar Closer. It's pretty catchy. Should be pretty easy for them to remember. The next thing I want to say, and thank you for that in advance, by the way. The next thing I want to say is, this is how I pay the bills for this show. This is why I don't have sponsors, and if I have somebody come on here, they don't pitch their shit. They just talk about real content for this audience, and that's because I sell digital products. If you go to bfadigital.com, that's BFA Digital, like Break Free Academy, digital.com, put your name and email address in there, and I'll give you an hour-long training. At the end of that training, you like what you hear. There is a sales pitch at the end of it. If you like what, but there's tons of content leading up to the sales pitch. If you like what you hear at the end of that, then all I ask is that you go over to the buy page and check it out. That product has over 75 videos in it at this point. That's 60 hours of training, scripts, PDF videos. You couldn't consume all the content in there within a year, I don't believe, but that's not why I designed it. I designed it as a library for when you want to learn Facebook ads, you go to the Facebook ads tab. If you want to learn an innovative way to do something on Twitter, you go to the Twitter tab. If you want to learn an innovative way to make videos and maybe some scripts to go along with them, you do the same thing. You go to the tab that has podcasts on it. You want to learn how to create a radio show, you go listen to the audio that teaches you how to create a radio show. It's all organized back there. It's a library. Everything that we cover in 90 days of training with 10 people, as well as 3 days hands-on, is back there in that course. All I'm going to ask you to do is after you put your name and email address in, after listening to the show, put your name and email address in at bfadigital.com. If you like what you see, you will not be disappointed. I've priced it way undervalued for the amount of content you got, and basically you're paying for lifetime access to a library that continues to grow because I add stuff back there. You're paying for lifetime access to a library of content that you can go back there at your whim and take an hour-long training and implement immediately. It's like having access to marketing college, except for I do not give out diplomas. Actually, I do to the live people that come to the live event. They're called folders and letters of recommendation. All right, so now that the sales pitch is out of the way, let's talk about a podcast today, right? Let's talk about what we're here to talk about, and that is getting a promotion. Now, usually promotion is something that we look forward to in business, right? A lot of people, they say they want to work up the chain, work up the ladder, get to the top of the chain of command, whatever. And for a lot of people, it's exciting, especially for the employee mentality, it's exciting. And there's a lot more employee mentalities existing on this planet, or at least in the country of American, right? And at least in America, I don't know what the hell it's trying to be all fancy with that for, but at least in America, there's a lot more people with an employment mentality. And so that is a predominant mentality in this place, and it has its influence on other people. So sometimes when we're good salesmen, management wants to promote us to management, right? Upper management wants to rise and promote us to management. And because of the mass employee mentality on this planet, a lot of us salesmen think it's a great idea, and we're always sold pitches like, well, you know, if you just get, like, almost like multi-level marketing, but in a corporate standpoint, right? It's like, well, if you just get five other people underneath you, and you take 20% from each one of them, it's like you're making a whole deal from each person. It's like you're making a whole percent. It's like you just replaced yourself, and you're getting money, and you're not doing anything. However, that's never the case. And what brought me to this podcast, I'm actually a really big Mitch Hedberg fan. Rest, buddy. If there was a chance that I could sit around and smoke a joint with anybody living or dead, it'd probably be him because he's hilarious, right? If you haven't looked him up, go look him up. Mitch Hedberg, really funny one-liner guys for, like, stoner drug, dark comedy stuff. Well, Mitch says, you know, I'm a comedian, and he talks real funny like this. He goes, hey, you know, man, I'm a comedian. I finally get to the top of the stand-up world, and they're like, but can you write? And I'm like, they always want me to do scripts and stuff. He goes, it's like, if you're a chef and you work your way up to be like the number one chef ever and you like put all this time and dedication in mastering your craft and food and they're like, but can you farm? And I just thought about that. I'm like, that's kind of how we go with salesmen. It's like, all right, we master our craft as salespeople and we get to be the best that we want. And they're like, but can you manage? Now, I've learned too. Now, it's very possible to be successful in management, but a lot of times as salesmen, we are hands-on people that want to do shit ourselves, and it frustrates us to try to train somebody else when we could just take the steering wheel and drive the damn car ourselves. And then we end up not being management anyway. And then we see that we're losing money, so we stop delegating certain things out because we don't have as confident staff as we thought, because it's been hard for us to train them, because just because we're good at something doesn't mean we're good at relaying how we're good at it. Now, some of us are. I've watched some of my friends ride through management and kill it. Do well, train people well. They were an exceptional salesman to begin with. Turns out they were an awesome manager, but that's rarely the case. A long time ago, let's say 10 years ago, I had a mentor in the mortgage business. And he owned a portion of the mortgage company. He owned a portion of the mortgage company that I worked for. But yet, he didn't attend 10 management meetings. like in the sense of with the other managers. He didn't get involved in the hiring and firing of employees. He stayed to himself. He owned a portion of the company, so he probably had some sort of say behind the scenes, but he wasn't too concerned with that. Didn't manage anybody in operations on a day-to-day basis. Owned a portion of the company, had his own dedicated processor, and he said, all I want to do is be a salesman. I don't want the responsibility of anything other than doing loans. He goes, I've tried the management gig. I get up there, I try to teach other people, and all it does is get in the way, and all it does is damage my income. All it does is distract me from what I do best, which is being a salesman, and I'm okay with being a salesman. Nobody here's on my butt telling me what to do. I don't have the responsibility of trying to train somebody else. I've got my processor and my assistant in place. That's all I need. I can keep a steady flow of 8 to 10 loans at $400,000 to $700,000 a piece and make $500,000 a year in income without stressing too much. And I thought, man, he's got a point. I've always been the type of person, you know, I realized this through writing my book. I've always been the type of person that's, you know, a big anti-authority, right? A big surprise there, right? And authority sometimes in the business world is in the form of management. So I've always kind of, you know, when I was at the car wash, I had management skills. But in the sales world, you're dealing with a completely different personality. Matter of fact, you're not dealing with a personality. You're dealing with however many people are on your team, completely different personalities. It's like trying to master a chess game where the board's spinning and the pieces are moving automatically. It's like juggling cats with bathtubs in the mix. And so it gets really frustrating trying to manage salespeople, because if we're a salesperson and we're good, the company we're going to move up in is going to want us to require salespeople, right? It's like you should teach people to do what you do. How many of you real estate agents listening right now, your bosses or brokers say that to you? You should, wow, you had a great month. You should teach the other agents how to do that. Now, why in the hell would I want to teach the other people to do what I'm doing so that they can cut in on my territory? And they sell you like, well, you know, they're in Keller and you're over here in Dallas. It doesn't matter. Figure that shit out on your own. Well, pay me. Truth is, most people won't implement the shit anyway. But the other thing is, that's the frustration of, that we have as a salesperson, right? The fact that we train these people stuff, and then they don't do what we would do. And then it gets frustrating, and then we have to go back and not only do the extra work that they undid, but then we have to undo the extra work that we're going to do. Oh, Jesus. It's a nightmare. It's a total nightmare. So the reason, so is my favorite stalwart, I guess, on this episode, y'all. I'm trying to clarify here. That seems to be my go-to word to start the phrase back up. I don't know how I got stuck on that there. Kind of comical to me. Here I am grading myself live on a podcast. That's what you call OCD, ladies and gentlemen. But back to management. So working our way up, see, I caught myself there. Working our way up through the chain sounds enticing. Upper management, right? If they are getting us to rise up the chain of command, then obviously they've got to go somewhere else too. They're trying to replace themselves so that they can move up, just like they're trying to get you to duplicate yourself so that you can move up. And what's worse is when they say, okay, you're a manager now, go create a team. So I got to figure out a way to make the same money I was always making, plus go hire new people, plus train these new people, and then surrender my book of business over to these people and hope they don't screw it up. Tell me more about this, please. But we never see it that way. We see it the way that upper management pitches it to us, because they have incentives there as well. And they know more behind the scenes because they're in the management than we do to begin with anyway. Management shows up and their pitch is always this. Yes, but if you just get three people on your team, then you can go on vacation, you can take time off. But a lot of times we look at them, we're like, dude, you're 31 years old and you're bald and 400 pounds overweight, stressed out of your gourd. Looks like you're high as a kite on meth every day because you're on so many anti-anxiety medicines because of this job. And you haven't been on a vacation in 6 years since I worked here. Tell me more about how I can duplicate myself. But we don't ever think that, right? We get caught up in the employee mentality. Yes, this is what all my friends do. They all move up in management. That's what I should do. Right now in the mortgage business, there's a big rush to be branch manager, but that's only so that you can actually get the money that the government wrote a law to take from you in the first place. Paper never does anything but create more paper. Write that one down. Other than that, moving into management is usually a bad idea for a salesman. Let me explain why. Especially for those of you that are young salesmen. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to deter you from your life goal. If your life goal is to train people, manage a team, what I'm talking about is if you're already successful and management's putting pressure on you and you don't want to leave your post, it's probably best that you shouldn't because you don't have that calling. Tell them, I'm really happy with where I'm at. I learned that from my mentor back in the day that I was telling you about. Same thing when people would, hey, you should be a team lead. No, I'm cool. I just want to write loans. That's all. Just want to write loans. Right now, they say, why don't you hire a phone room and get employees? Man, I just want to help the people that I can help. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't want to manage people. I don't want to have to deal with, you know, checking so many people. I got one salesperson right now, and we have a small system that works out perfect. I'm not on his ass. He's not bothering me. We split the money according to the agreements that we have. It took a little while to train him, but fortunately, he was one of my clients beforehand and had bought some of my stuff, so he understood the program, which makes it all that much easier. And he's not even an employee's full-time contract, part-time contract labor. So I just want you to consider that me, a person you know is really master sales, is a really good salesperson, master salesperson, whatever you want to call me. I don't have management in the company I run. Sometimes I get on the phone with people and they're like, oh, wow, it's really you. Well, yeah. This is me every day in the grind. People hit me up on Facebook. They're like, is this really you or is this somebody using Ryan's account? Is this his assistant? Sometimes it is on my fan page. But it's me. I'm there replying. So back to the story here. Here's why it's difficult for sales guys to move into management effectively. See, us sales guys, we're cut from a different cloth. We're like athletes. Most of us were, not us, I shouldn't say us because I'm not an athlete. But for the sake of salespeople, we'll go with that. Most of us were athletes. Most of us were athletic in some sort. And we're very competitive, hence why we're successful as salespeople. Let's take that back to, like, let's go back and through, like, the Darwinism of time to, like, say when people were in caves. When caveman went out and got food for his family or the village or whatever, that was the salesman. He had to go out, stalk the prey, kill it, bring it back. They have, in, like, the lone world, the processors or the stay-at-home moms in the entrepreneurial world, which happens a lot, right? Those people back at the village that couldn't go out and hunt would skin and eat what was left, right? They would skin and eat what was killed, sorry. Imagine a guy, a caveman, that goes out and makes a kill every day and feeds his village. Let's consider that caveman a salesman in the village of the corporation. Goes out every day, makes a kill. He comes back like fucking King Leonidas. Roar! I have killed a water buffalo! Everybody's excited. He's a hero. And then one day, they tell him, hey, we're going to need you to start training these young guys out here. And these young guys that they want him to train, they still haven't got it because he's a champ. He goes out there 30 minutes later, deer's dead, buffalo's dead. He brings it back. Everybody cheers. He's got this stuff down to a rhythm. The young guys, they're still, you know, interested in girls a little bit. They're still easily distracted. They're trying to figure out how they can grow weed while they're out there in the woods. And he's trying to all of a sudden sit back at the village and wait for them to bring the food in. And he notices one of them disappears. A couple of them come back with some birds instead of a deer. One of them goes, loses all the bait, comes back without his bow and arrow. No trap, no bow and arrow, no bait to get anything out there to him. Imagine how that guy would handle that situation. Right, trying to manage other people hunting for him, and he's been the town hero, the village hero, all this time. Turns the reins over and it falls apart. The village is starving, so they're grumpy. How's the village going to start? How's it going to survive if it's used to eat water buffalo and this dude shows up with a couple of doves? So what's King Leonidas in this example got to do? He's got to pick up his spear and bow and arrow and go out and kill it himself anyway. Think of the frustration, even if they were successful. Let's say that the team goes out there and the young boys, they're like skilled hunters and they're even better than him. Then he's got to fight the battle of them wanting to start their own tribe. He's got to be the guy that used to be badass and his lady was impressed with his hunting skills. Now that he's not running every day, he's getting a little bit overweight. He's sitting back a little bit grumpier. His old lady keeps putting the eyes on the young guys that are bringing the deer in. He starts getting frustrated because he's not getting that release anymore. People don't respect him as much because now he's not the one feeding them. After a few years, people forgot that he used to feed them, and the next generation says, well, he's just always been that. He's never had any skills. Fast forward to 2015, where we're at now, and think about how that scenario applies to the corporate world and a salesperson's life, and think about how we're genetically predisposed, some of us, to not want to manage people, but to want to go out and get it ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to have the employee mentality. It's okay to be different. It's okay to turn down quote-unquote promotion. If my suggestion is if you're going to move up in management, do it yourself. Start your own thing. If you're going to manage people, you might as well manage them as the CEO and not the branch manager. Just my opinion. That's not possible for everybody. But if you're able to and you have the grit and the drive to, that is what I advise you. Oh, shit, that rhymed. So in 2015, salesman's used to going out, making sales for the corporation, coming in, the CEO high-fiving them. And you think about that CEO for a minute, the stories that go on there. Well, he's always just been CEO. But let's think of that related to the chief of the tribe. Chief's happy. He's crowning you with raccoon skin. Right? So you're coming in the CEO. He's giving you Rolexes at the end of the year. You're doing a good job for him. And they just want, all they want is to figure out how to duplicate you. And you're the only person that has that blueprint inside of you with any sort of remote possibility to do that. But not all of us possess that gene of duplication. Some of us are fucking unique and can't be duplicated. Some of us are just plain better than others, and there's no way to create another one of us. That's why we're elite and the top at what we do in this sales game. I don't believe there is another Ryan Suman. I don't believe there is another Steve Green or Garrett J. White or anybody that's a top performer in their industry. I don't believe they make two of them. They're unique. That's what makes them the elite, the top in their industry. So I'll have you consider this. As we move into this busy season, especially for those of you in real estate and mortgages, if you're failing as a salesperson, but you'd love to train people, there's nothing wrong with that. Management's probably for you. I'm not taking a jab at you, but I'm saying if you possess that employee mentality and not that give me my motherfucking spear and let me get this deer mentality, there's nothing wrong with that, right? The world needs us both. The world needs the balance. We don't find you out there attacked and trampled over by elephants, right? You keep everybody back at the tribe safe. I don't know what continent I'm on, just throwing all these animals together that these guys might be hunting. I don't even know if water buffalo and elephant are on the same, maybe cavemen were in Africa. I don't know. I'm just like throwing big-ass animals out there because I figure it's got to be pretty big. You're going to eat a tribe. Can we see how to eat an elephant one bite? Okay, sorry. Back to what I was talking about here. Come in, king celebrating. Everybody's happy. But at the same time, we got a little sidetracked there. I ain't going to lie with the whole elephant continent thing. I was trying to sort that thing out in my head, and it didn't end well the way that I wanted it to. Back to the story over here about coming home and, you know, we need this balance. So I'm not saying that the world doesn't need you, but maybe if you're not that good of a salesman, but you're really good with people and the people on the team seem to like and respect you, management's for you. But I have you consider this. If you're that guy, if you're the king, Leonidas, right, in this case that I was talking about, this scenario, if you're that guy and you're the one that goes out and get it, you don't want to relinquish control, you don't want to just give up, you can't just like leave your hands up, and you're successful what you're doing, and you're happy, dude. If you have a good system in place, why fuck up a good thing? And the chance of making some more money, when right now all you had to do to probably make that same amount of money is maybe raise the price or two, find an extra client or two, and you replace that extra income that the possibility of management sold you anyway. Don't get sold through that employee mentality. Remember, they have employee mentalities while they're in management. You're a salesman, like DMX says. You're a dog, right? You go get that shit. You're a hunter. So as we go into this busy season, and you start selling a lot of stuff, and you become top producer again, and management hits you up and says, listen, we want to move you through the ranks to where you can eventually own this place. And they show you all this glorious comp plan and how all these employees and everything else. You look at all that money, and you do the real math. And the real math is, if I just sold more shit and bought into this company and didn't have to manage anything, could I achieve the same result? If I just bought in instead of managing up, if I just bought in, because if you'll stick to what you do best, don't take that setback. Listen, if you take a setback, and a lot of people say, well, I moved into management, but I took a pay cut. How fucking ludicrous is that? Oh, but the potential's huge. How fuck crazy is that? You to put your family at a little bit of, not risk, maybe, sometimes risk, but you don't like taking a little bit away from your family in order to move up through a corporation, the possibility of growing. Now, a lot of times it may work out. Same time, it's an awful big risk. So what I would suggest, whatever plan they put in front of you, figure out what you would have to do on your end to be able to match that pay structure-wise, and then look at the stress and production difference. So if they're going to pay you, ultimately your cap in allows you to make another $100,000 a year than you are right now as a salesman in management if you hit your goals every single month. Figure out what it would take you as a salesman to hit another extra $100,000 a year. And if it looks like less work than management, then why even freaking do it? Public service message brought to you by Rockstar Closer Podcast. So I'll ask you this, and let's end. When they come to you this year and you're doing a bunch of business, what are you going to say? And they ask you, you're a good salesman. We want to see if you can manage. You say, you know, I wanted to be a cook. I got to the top of my game. They wanted me to farm. What the fuck is this all about? So thanks for listening today, everybody. Again, go to bfadigital.com. Opt in, name, email, check it out. Look, I got a free hour-long training you can't lose. And from there, you can go over and see the portal and everything that's back there. I'm telling you, I've put together an online training library that has everything that you could possibly want back there, and we're consistently adding to it, and you get lifetime access for one payment. One payment! At a fraction of the cost of what it is to come to, like a one-fifth of the cost of what it is to come to Break Free Academy. So thanks again for your business. I'm thanking you in advance for that. And don't forget to share this show. Super important that we share this and keep pushing the word out here. That's how we reach more people, right? Management may hate us, but, hey, we're salespeople. That's what this is all about. So you guys, gals, thanks for listening. Have a great week. And keep rocking. Oh, and closing.